Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
We are continuing this morning with our series on the life of Abraham, and our scripture reading is taken from Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 14. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back! And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Dear friends, this passage of Scripture that we have read is by far one of the darkest and most disturbing in the entire Bible. Some might say that because of the graphic nature of this material, it should not be preached on, especially in church where children are present. To be honest, I struggled with this question myself. And yet, friends, this too is part of God's revelation. Therefore, it also must be preached. Yes, also in this passage, the Lord would have something to teach us. The question is what? What would the Lord have us to learn from this portion of His Word? Well, let us seek to answer that question as we meditate on this passage together. The theme of the sermon is the arrival of the angels in Sodom. And we'll see that this event reveals, first of all, the righteousness of Lot, secondly, the wickedness of Sodom, and thirdly, the mercy of God. Our text begins by noting that two angels came to Sodom at even, that is, as the day was coming to a close. These were, of course, the same two angels that appear to Abraham in chapter 18. We read that when they entered into the city, they were noticed by Abraham's nephew, who was sitting in the gate, Abraham's nephew Lot. And that is very significant. You see, in ancient times, only the elders of the city sat in the gate of the city. There they administered justice and conducted the affairs of state. Evidently, since moving into Sodom, Lot had risen to a position of prominence. He had become a city councillor, an upstanding member of the community. We see here how subtly the world can influence the people of God. You may recall that when Lot decided to settle in the fertile Jordan River Valley, he stayed some distance away from Sodom. The Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom, but he did not actually live in the city. And now we see that he not only lives there, but he is an upstanding member of the community. Let this be a warning to us, dear friends. On the outside, the world looks harmless enough. We naively think that we can live with one foot in the world and the other in the church and yet somehow remain pure. But if the story of Lot teaches us anything, it teaches us that this cannot be done. Eventually, the world will swallow us up like quicksand before we even realize what is happening. That is exactly what happened to Lot. At first, Lot thought that he could withstand the temptations of Sodom, but eventually he found that he could not. Eventually, he was swallowed up by them. And that is why the Bible warns us time and time again to flee from the world, not come as close as possible to the world, but rather flee from it. And it does so because God knows how prone we are to be swallowed up by the world. Oh, let us take heed to these warnings, dear friends, and let us beware. Let us stay as far away from the world as we can. The two angels, therefore, arrived in Sodom while Lot was sitting in the gate. And when Lot saw them, he immediately rose up to meet them. And the text says he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and then he proceeded to invite them to his home. We read in verse 2, "And he that is Lot said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." Very gracious invitation that Lot had extended to these men. Surprisingly, the men refused. They say, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." This raises the question, of course, why did the angels refuse Lot's offer? Well, no doubt they did it in order to magnify the wickedness of the city. You see, by refusing Lot's offer of hospitality, the angels were seeking to determine how wicked the city really was. If the city was really bad, they knew that Lot, being a righteous man, would forbid them from spending the night on the street. And that's exactly what happened. Upon hearing the men's refusal, Lot pressed upon them greatly. The word here used means he urged them, he pleaded with them. You see, Lot knew how wicked the city was, especially at night, and he did not want any harm to come to these men. So he pleaded with them to come into his house. Now, as an aside, one cannot help wondering, if Lot knew how wicked the city was, why he continued to live there, and why he chose to raise his family there. And it's a reminder to us again of what a subtle and yet powerful pull the world has on us, yes, even on the people of God. Let us never underestimate the power and the attraction of the world, dear friends. If it could deceive a righteous man like Lot, it can deceive us as well. And so at length, the two men relented and went with Lot to his house. Once inside, Lot proceeded to make them something to eat. We read in verse 3, "And he that is Lot made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." Now we learn from all of this that in spite of the inconsistencies in his life, and there were many, Lot was still a righteous man. We know this because of what Peter writes in 2 Peter 2, verse 8. There we read that Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day as he witnessed the unlawful deeds of the men of Sodom. It is clear Lot was a righteous man. That is the testimony of Scripture. And here we see the evidence of it. You'll notice that none of the men of Sodom offered to accommodate these two strangers except for Lot. In fact, one of the reasons why God destroyed Sodom was because the inhabitants of the city did not show compassion for the poor and needy. It was not, in the first place, because of their homosexuality. We'll get to that in a minute. But it was because they did not show compassion for the poor and the needy. And that would include out-of-town visitors, such as these two men here. This is what the Lord himself says in Ezekiel 16, verse 49 and 50. There the Lord, speaking to the people of Judah, says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." Yes, only Lot, of all the men of Sodom, only Lot took these two men in. In so doing, he demonstrated that he was a righteous man. In fact, he was the only righteous man in the city. The account before us, therefore, demonstrates the righteousness of Lot, but it also demonstrates the wickedness of Sodom. You look at that under our second point. Just as Lot and his guests were getting ready for bed, something shocking happened. We read in verses 4 and 5 that the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Apparently, a large crowd of men had gathered outside Lot's house. What did these men want? Our text tells us in verse 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Now, the word "know" here does not mean to become acquainted with. The word "know" in the Bible can sometimes mean to have sexual relations with. Therefore, we read in Genesis 4, verse 1, that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. And that's what we have here. The men of Sodom did not just want to get acquainted with these men. They didn't simply want to say, "Hello, how are you doing? Where are you from?" and make small talk. These men wanted to have sexual relations with these men. We learn here something of the nature of the sin of the men of Sodom. We learn, first of all, it was widespread. The text tells us that this crowd that gathered outside Lot's house was composed of young and old, men from every quarter of the city. It was also a shameless sin. The men of Sodom did not perform their indecent acts in private or in under the cover of darkness. They didn't try to cover up their sin. They practiced it openly and publicly. One commentator writes, "Instead of creeping into a hole, they brazenly advertised their filthy intentions and proposed to satisfy their lusts openly in the streets." Thirdly, their sin was clearly out of control. You'll notice how they demanded that Lot bring the men out to them. The men of Sodom, it seems, were simply consumed by their lusts. They were like animals in heat. They simply couldn't wait to get their hands on these men and to gratify their perverted sexual impulses. Well, hearing the commotion outside, Lot went out into the street to try to reason with these men. We read in verse 6, "And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and he said, I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly." Then Lot did the unthinkable. He offered to give the men of Sodom his two virgin daughters. We read in verse 8, "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Now, friends, Lot's decision to prostitute his two daughters is difficult to understand. How can a father, much less a believer like Lot, even think of such a thing? These filthy men of Sodom were dangerous enough to men. One can only imagine how they would have treated two young women. We have some indication of this in Judges chapter 19. There we have the horrifying account of the Levite whose concubine was abused all night by the men of Gibeah. Her suffering was so horrible, in fact, that she died the next morning with her hands clenched on the threshold of the door. Now, if that is what happened to a woman at the hand of Israelites, one can only imagine the treatment these two young women would have received at the hand of the men of Sodom. And yet Lot offered to give them his two daughters. How do we explain this? Well, there is no easy answer, quite frankly. Some have suggested that Lot was merely calling their bluff. He knew the men were not interested in women, and therefore he figured he had nothing to lose. At least he could buy some time. Others have suggested that Lot's daughters were notorious fornicators, evidenced by the fact that later in this chapter we see them having relations with their own father. But none of that still makes what Lot did right. No matter how you look at it, what Lot did here was inexcusable. He forgot the most basic principle of ethics, that two wrongs don't make a right. He was right to do everything in his power to protect his guests, but he was wrong in offering the men his daughters in order to accomplish that objective. And all of this reminds us, friends, that although Lot was a believer, he was far from perfect. And who isn't? Ask yourself, what would you have done if you were in Lot's situation, or another situation, where you were forced, it seemed, to compromise one of the basic principles of the truth of the Word of God? Oh, I'm not excusing what Lot does here, but there are times when it is very difficult to know what to do in every given situation. But one thing is clear, we should never, ever fight evil with evil. Matthew Henry writes, "It is true, of two evils we must choose the less, but of two sins we must choose neither, nor ever do evil that good may come of it." And so what should Lot have done? Well, he should have trusted in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, we read that the Lord will never tempt us beyond what we are able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that we might be able to bear it. Lot should have known this. He should have learned it after he and Abraham were kicked out of Egypt. But evidently, he did not, or at least he forgot the lesson, and as a result, he fell into sin. Well, as it turned out, nothing Lot said mattered anyway, because the men of Sodom refused to listen. Lot reasoned with them. He appealed to their common sense of decency and to the laws of hospitality to which his guests were entitled, but they refused to listen. In fact, they only became more determined. And so, like a pack of animals, they ordered Lot to stand aside. "Stand back," they said. And they prepared to break down the door. Some of the men began to ridicule Lot. "Who appointed you a judge over us?" they said. "You weren't even born here." Others threatened to do him harm. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." Finally, in all the commotion, they began pushing and shoving their way to the door, putting Lot in considerable danger. Just as Lot was about to be trampled to death, the two angels inside of his home opened the door, grabbed Lot, pulled him inside, and locked the door behind them. Then, in an attempt to disperse the crowd, the angels smote the men of Sodom with blindness, but even that did not stop them. They continued to grope for the door, searching for some way to get inside the house, so driven they were by their perverted lusts. But it was to no avail. We read that after searching in vain for the door, the crowd eventually dispersed, and the men returned home. What a horrible scene. As I said in my introduction, here we come face to face with the horrible effects of the fall. God created marriage to be between one man and one woman, and he gave sex as a gift to be enjoyed in the confines of that relationship, to strengthen the bonds that unite husband and wife. But here we see the exact opposite. Here we see men burning with lust for other men, using sex for their own pleasure, and not for the glory of God. As I said, this is all a result of the fall. In Romans 1, the Apostle Paul says, verse 21, he argues there that although all men knew God, indeed, although they had the law of God written on their hearts, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then in verse 24, he goes on to tell us the consequences of this. He says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. This is what we see here. Men burning in lust for one another, working that which is unseemly, which is inappropriate, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, which they deserved. Now, it's clear from this, dear friends, that the Bible regards homosexuality as a sin. It is not the worst sin, but it is still a sin. Sad to say, that very truth is denied by many people today, also, sadly, in the Church of Jesus Christ. Today we are told that homosexuality is simply an alternative lifestyle. Others try to convince us that it is a matter of genetic programming. One does not choose to become homosexual, we are told. One is born that way. As a result, over the years, society has become far more accepting of homosexuality than it has in the past. Today, also in Canada, homosexuals are regarded as an oppressed minority who needs special protection under the law. They should have the right to marry, the right to adopt children, the right to become priests and ministers, receive spousal benefits, and even parade down the streets, all in the name of so-called equality. Homosexuality is no longer regarded as a sin today, but it is a sin. I know that that does not make me very popular, certainly not with the homosexual community. But I, as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, must be clear. I must teach only what the Scriptures teach, and the Scriptures teach very clearly, that homosexuality is a sin. Now listen carefully. That does not mean that we should go out and taunt, injure, and even kill homosexuals, or approve of those who do. Homosexuals are no worse than any other sinner. As such, they too need our love and our compassion and our prayers. They too need the Savior. But we must make it abundantly clear that homosexuality itself is a sin. That is what the Bible teaches, and that is what we must, in humility, maintain. The behavior of the men of Sodom, therefore, clearly demonstrates the depth of their wickedness. They were, in every sense of the word, ripe for judgment. And yet, in the midst of this wickedness and impending judgment, we see the mercy of God shine through. We'll look at that briefly under our third and final point. I said in my introduction that this is one of the darkest chapters in the entire Bible. But even in the midst of this terrible darkness, the mercy of God shines through. It shines through, first of all, in the fact that the men of Sodom had one last opportunity to repent. When I studied this account, it amazed me that God did not immediately destroy the entire city and everyone in it, or at least cause fire to come down from heaven and consume these men at Lot's door who behaved so wickedly. The fact is, he didn't. He waited until the next morning, and so doing, he gave the men of Sodom one last opportunity to repent. Oh, what a warning this is to all those who have not repented of their sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the time is fast approaching when the Lord will come in judgment. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week or next year, but the time is fast approaching. And in the meantime, the Lord gives you one last opportunity to repent and to believe on His name, and I urge you to do so while there is still time. Secondly, the mercy of God shines through in the fact that the Lord was willing to spare Lot and his family and all of his acquaintances. We read in verse 12, "The angels say to Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." The Lord intended to destroy Sodom, but before he did that, he was willing to spare anyone who wanted to be spared. That included Lot's sons-in-law, his sons, his daughters, and whatsoever he had, meaning, presumably, his friends and neighbors, and anyone who would listen to him, anyone who would believe his word that God would destroy the city, God would save them. Sadly, no one believed Lot. Even his sons-in-law did not take him seriously. We read in verse 14, he seemed to them as one that mocked. His own sons-in-law thought he was joking. As a result, they all perished. Dear friends, do you see something of the great mercy of God here? God would have been perfectly just to destroy every single person in Sodom, including Lot and his family. But he did not do so. Instead, he offers salvation to all who would listen. All those who acted on Lot's warning would be spared. Now, this is still true today. Still today, the Lord comes also to us, and he warns us through the preaching of his word to flee from the wrath to come, and he promises that all those who act on this warning and who believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, will be saved. Oh, how good the Lord is! How slow to anger and plenteous in mercy! He is a God who takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should repent and live to the glory of God. Of his name. My friend, have you done that? The Lord is still willing to receive sinners unto himself. Do not think that you are any better than these men of Sodom. What these men did was wicked, but dear friends, we also are wicked. We may not be homosexuals, but we all need to be saved. We all need to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, have you been washed in his blood? If not, I urge you to make haste. Today is still the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Dear friends, this broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not a member of such a church, I would encourage you to join us for our services in Calgary, Monarch, and Lacombe. Just for the information of our listeners, I hope to be in Calgary this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. We are currently meeting at the Blackfoot Inn, the corner of Blackfoot Trail and Glenmore Trail. It's always a delight for me to see people who listen to this broadcast from Sunday to Sunday, and I sure would like to meet you this afternoon. If you would like more information about this broadcast or would like a copy of this sermon, please write to the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. That's the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or call me at area code 403-553-3400. That's 553-3400. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Church, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30. In Lacombe at 1:30 and 6:30, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at this same time for the Banner of Truth.